I'm stressed, I'm depressed, I'm shittily dressed. I'm Terry, and this is Terrifying.
Warning, this podcast will discuss graphic material.
Today on Terrifying, we are finally finishing Dahmer. It's been long, but I kind of make shorter episodes because they keep changing our work schedule and everything, and it's been a struggle. But we're finally finished with Dahmer. So let's get into it. I'll do business at the end of the show. You can stick around. You cannot. I'd like you to stick around so you could hear some stuff. But you don't have to. But I like it. But anyway, let's talk about Dahmer. On September 24th, 3 weeks after the Miller murder, Dahmer met a 22-year-old named David Thomas. They met at the Grand Avenue Mall. Once again, Dahmer persuaded the man to come back to his apartment for drinks and a promise of money in exchange for photographs. Dahmer stated to investigators that after he drugged David with a drink laced with sleeping pills, he wasn't really attracted to him, but he was afraid that if he allowed David to wake up, he would have been angry for being drugged. Well, I think that would be a pretty good assumption. So Dahmer strangled him and dismembered the body, and he didn't keep any of the body parts at all. But he did take Polaroids of the dismemberment process. Once again, I can't talk. And later, that helped the identification process of David Thomas. After David Thomas's murder, Dahmer didn't kill anyone for 5 months, but he tried 5 times between October 1990 and February 1991. All attempts that he tried were unsuccessful. During 1990, he often complained to his probation officer about anxiety and depression. He frequently referenced his sexuality, solitary lifestyle, and financial difficulties as the cause. It also said that he was having suicidal thoughts. In February of 1991, Dahmer saw the 17-year-old Curtis Strotter. He was standing at a bus stop near the Marquette University. Once again, Dahmer lured the boy in with the promise of money in exchange for nude photos, with an added incentive of intercourse. Once they got back to the apartments, he drugged the boy. He strangled him with a leather strap. Dahmer dismembered Curtis and kept his skull, hands, and genitals. He photographed each stage of Curtis's dismemberment process. Less than 2 months later, on April 7th, Dahmer met 19-year-old Errol Lindsay. He was walking to get a key made. He was a heterosexual man. Dahmer lured him to his apartment, he drugged him, and instead of strangling him like he did in the past, he actually drilled a hole in Lindsay's skull and poured hydrochloric acid into it. After this experiment, the Dahmer had conducted in hopes of inducing a permanent, unresistant, submissive state. Lindsay woke up. When he woke up, he said, "I have a headache. What time is it?" Dahmer drugged him again and then strangled him. He was decapitated and his skull was kept. Dahmer also removed his bones and placed his skin in cold water, and he put salt in it, but he was hoping that it would help him keep the skin permanently, and it sat in there for weeks. But reluctantly, Dahmer had to get rid of the skin because it became too frayed and too brittle. By 1991, other tenants at the Oxford Apartments had repeatedly complained to the building manager, Sophia Princewell, about the foul smells coming from Dahmer's apartment. They also complained about sounds of things falling and the sounds of chainsaws. When the Princewell confronted Dahmer about the complaints, he said it was because his freezer had broke and that the food inside had spoiled. When confronted again, he said it was because some of his tropical fish died and he'd deal with it. On May 26, 1991, Dahmer met a 14-year-old named Conorak Synthesmophone. I don't know. I tried. I even listened to the little Google lady be like, this is how you pronounce it. And it still didn't work because I have a lisp and I'm also from West Virginia where I have an accent. So I'm sorry. I'm probably just gonna call him Conorak. And if I'm saying it wrong, I'm so sorry. No disrespect to his family, but I did try.
but he met him on the Wisconsin Avenue. He was the brother of a man Dahmer had raped in 1988. He used the same old trick of luring him in the promise of money for exchange of, you guessed it, photographs. Dahmer said that the boy was reluctant to accept the proposal, but eventually he did accept, and he did return to Dahmer's home with him. He posed for two photographs in his underwear before he was drugged, and Dahmer performed oral sex on the unconscious youth. He drilled a single hole in the head, and he injected hydrochloric acid into it. Before the youth fell unconscious, Dahmer led him to his bedroom where the body of a 31-year-old Tony Hughes laid. The body was naked on the floor. Dahmer killed him 3 days prior. He also said that the boy saw the man's body but didn't react, probably because he was on sleeping pills and, you know, there was hydrochloric acid being literally injected into his brain. But whenever the youth became unconscious, Dahmer laid next to him in bed, drank a couple beers, then he left to go get a drink at the bar and then purchase more alcohol. In the early hours of May 27th, when Dahmer returned home, he found a naked synthesimophone. I can't say, I feel so bad. Synthesimophone. Sitting outside talking in Lao to three distraught women. Dahmer explained that John Hmong, an alias he used for his young victim, was his friend, and Dahmer grabbed the boy by the arm and tried to lead him into his apartment. The three women told Dahmer that they had called 911 and they better leave the boy there. When John Balsarak and Joseph Gabrish, two Milwaukee officers, arrived on the scene, Dahmer explained that the young man was his 19-year-old boyfriend who had just drank way too much after a fight, and that he often did this while drinking. The three women became distraught, trying to explain that the boy was bleeding from his butt and that he had seemingly struggled against Dahmer's attempts to walk him to his apartment. The police officer brushed it off and told them to butt out and shut the hell up, and even said the incident was just a domestic. Without listening to the pleading women, the officers covered the young boy up with a towel and walked him to Dahmer's apartment. There, Dahmer showed the officers photos of the youth trying to prove that they were lovers. The two that he took before of him in his underwear. The officers later said that there was a strange smell coming from the apartment. But Dahmer said they just peeked their head in and they didn't take a very good look. They even told him to take good care of his boyfriend. I just want you guys to know that there is actually an audio out there of these two police officers making fun of the situation. They're making fun of the two gay lovers and their quarrel. It is disgusting. If they had actually looked into Dahmer's background, they would have found out that he was a convicted child molester and he was under probation. Also, if they would have just looked in the apartment, they would have found body parts. They would have found a dead guy on the floor. They would have saw all the hydrochloric acid, but, you know, once the officers left the apartment, Dahmer injected more hydrochloric acid into the youth's brain again, and it killed him this time. The next day, Dahmer took off work and dedicated his day off to the dismemberment of Hughes and the young boy. He kept both of their skulls. On June 30th, while Dahmer was in Chicago, he met a 20-year-old named Matt Turner. He met him at a bus station. Dahmer offered a professional photo shoot in Milwaukee to Turner. He accepted. When they arrived to Dahmer's apartment, he drugged, strangled, and dismembered Matt. Dahmer placed his head and internal organs into separate plastic bags and put them into the freezer. Matt Turner was not reported missing. On July 5th, just 5 days later, Dahmer lured a 23-year-old named Jeremiah Winterberger to his apartment from Chicago. They met at a bar, and with the promise of spending the weekend with Dahmer, they went to his apartment. When they arrived to the apartment, he drugged him and injected boiling water into his skull. This put Jeremiah into a coma that lasted 2 days, or he died 2 days later. On July 15th, Dahmer met a 24-year-old named Oliver Lacey at the corner of 27th and Kilbourne. Once again, Dahmer used the photograph trick to lure the man to his apartment. When they got to the apartment, they engaged in sexual activities before Lacey was drugged. Dahmer wanted to spend more time with Oliver while he was alive. After unsuccessfully using chloroform on Lacey, he called his work and asked for the day off. This was granted, but the next day, Dahmer was suspended. Dahmer strangled Oliver and had sex with the corpse before dismembering it. He placed a head and the heart in the refrigerator and the skeleton in the freezer. 4 days later, Dahmer was informed that he was fired. After getting this news, Dahmer lured a 25-year-old Joseph Braidhoff to his apartment. He strangled him and left him on his sheet-covered bed for 2 days. On July 21st, Dahmer removed the sheets to find maggots covering Joseph's head. After that, he decapitated the body, cleaned the head, and put it in the refrigerator. He later put the torso of Braidhoff, along with the two other victims, into the acid mixture. On July 22nd, 1991, Dahmer approached three men, offering them $100 in exchange for nude photographs, drinking beers, and just spending some time with him. Tracy Edwards was one of the three men, and he agreed to accompany Dahmer. When Tracy walked into the apartment, he noticed a foul smell and all of the hydrochloric acid boxes on the floor. Dahmer claimed that the acid was used for cleaning bricks. Because that's normal, you know, I just need to clean these bricks. God dang it, Dahmer. After chatting for a while, Dahmer was like, look at my tropical fish. And Tracy turned his head and Dahmer handcuffed one of his wrists. Tracy obviously was confused. And he asked Dahmer what was happening. As Dahmer unsuccessfully tried to handcuff both of the victims' hands together, he then told Tracy to accompany him to the bedroom for photographs. While in the bedroom, Tracy noticed a blue barrel with an odor that was being emitted from it. Nude male posters were hanging on Dahmer's wall, and The Exorcist 3 was playing on repeat. Dahmer held a knife and told Tracy that he was going to pose for nude photos of him. In an attempt to please Dahmer, Tracy started to unbutton his shirt. He told Dahmer that they could take photos if he removed the handcuffs and put away the knife. In response to this, Dahmer turned his attention towards the TV and started rocking back and forth and chanting. After this, he put his head on Tracy's chest and started listening to his heartbeat. He also placed the knife onto Tracy's body, telling him that he was going to eat his heart. Well, I mean, I guess eat your heart out. Tracy made continuous attempts to make Dahmer not attack him. He kept telling Dahmer that he was his friend. He wasn't going to run away. He had decided that he was going to jump out of a window or he was going to run through the apartment's unlocked front door when the opportunity rose. When Tracy told Dahmer he had to use the restroom, he asked Dahmer if they could sit in the air-conditioned living room while they drank beer, because if you remember, Dahmer's an alcoholic. Dahmer shockingly agreed. The pair went to the living room after Tracy got out of the restroom. Tracy waited until Dahmer wasn't focused on him and asked if he could use the bathroom again. When he realized Dahmer wasn't holding onto his handcuffs, he punched him in the face, knocking Dahmer off balance, and ran out the front door. On July 22nd, Tracy Edwards flagged down two Milwaukee police officers, Robert Rath and Ralph Mueller. The officers noted that Edwards had handcuffs on his wrists, or one wrist. Edwards told the officers that a freak had placed the handcuffs on him, and he asked the officers if they could remove them. The officers' handcuffs keys did not fit the ones Dahmer had put on him, and Edwards agreed to accompany the officers to the apartment where this all took place. Edwards and the officers arrived at Dahmer's apartment, and he actually invited the trio in after admitting to putting the handcuffs on Edwards, but he offered no explanation of why. And at this point, Edwards also told the officers that Dahmer had also brandished a large knife that had happened in the bedroom. Dahmer indicated to Mueller that the key was in his bedside table drawer, and the officer went to retrieve it. Dahmer tried to pass the officer and get the key himself, but the other officer told him to back off. When Mueller retrieved the key, he also found Polaroids that Dahmer took. He saw that they were taken in the same apartment and that they were human bodies in all stages of dismemberment. He took them to his partner and said, "These are for real." Dahmer saw what Mueller was holding and started trying to resist arrest by fighting them,
but quickly they overpowered him, cuffed him, and also called a second squad car for backup. After this, Mueller opened the refrigerator to find a freshly severed head of a black African-American male on the bottom shelf. As Dahmer lied pinned underneath Roth, he muttered the words, "For what I did, I should be dead." Milwaukee Police's Criminal Investigation Bureau conducted a detailed search of the apartment, and they found severed heads, 4 of them, 7 skulls, blood dripping from a tray in the fridge, 2 human hearts, and a portion of arm muscles, and they were each wrapped in plastic. In the freezer, they also found an entire torso, a bag of human organs, and flesh in a bag stuck to the ice on the bottom. In apartment 213, the apartment of horrors, 2 entire skeletons, a pair of severed hands, 2 severed and preserved penises, and a mummified scalp. They also found 3 dismembered torsos in the process of being dissolved in Dahmer's 57-gallon barrel and 74 damning photographs. On July 23, 1991, Dahmer was questioned by Detective Patrick Kennedy about the murders he had committed. The evidence found in his apartment over the last 2 weeks, Detective Patrick Kennedy and later Detective Patrick Murphy conducted over 60 hours of interviews with Dahmer. Dahmer also waived his right to have a lawyer during the interviews because he wanted to confess to everything. He said that he had created this horror, and it makes sense. He does everything he could to put an end to it. He admitted to 17 murders, 16 Wisconsin boys, and 1 murder that was in Ohio, and that was Stephen Hicks. He said most of his victims were unconscious during the killings, but he didn't know if Tuomi was during his brutal beating. But it also shows that Dahmer, in his drunken stupor, may have tried to unsuccessfully rip Tuomi's heart out. And all of the Oxford apartment murders, Dahmer had a ritual of posing the bodies in suggestive positions with their chest thrust outwards before dismembering them. Dahmer admitted to engaging in necrophilia with several of the victims' bodies and performing sexual acts with their organs. He said he dismembered the bodies in his bathtub after noticing that the blood pooled in their chest after they were being murdered. Dahmer would first remove their internal organs, suspend the torso so that it would drain the blood, dice the organs that he didn't want to keep, and he also removed the flesh from the bones. He would pulverize the bones or put it in acid to disintegrate, or he would use Soilex and bleach to help him preserve the bones and skeletons he wanted to keep. He also admitted to eating hearts, livers, biceps, and portions of thighs in the previous year. He described the increased rate of his killings in the last 2 months, and he also said that it was an insistent and never-ending desire to be with someone good-looking, really nice-looking, and it just filled his thoughts all day long. The investigators asked Dahmer why he had preserved 7 skulls and 2 of the victims' entire skeletons. Dahmer told them that he wanted to create an altar. He wanted to place them on a black table located in his living room, where he had photographed many of his victims. The skulls were going to be displayed with the complete skeletons on the side. The severed heads that were found in the kitchen were going to be cleaned and used for the altar. It would have also included another skull of a future victim. Dahmer wanted to place a large blue lamp with an extended blue globe light above it. He was also going to place it in front of a window covered with an opaque black shower curtain. And Dahmer was going to sit in a black leather chair in the middle. On November 18, 1991, when an interviewer asked who the altar was being made for, Dahmer said himself because it would make him feel at home. On July 25, 1991, Dahmer was charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder. By August 22, he had been charged with 11 more. He wasn't charged with the attempted murder of Tracy Edwards, and he wasn't charged with the Tuomi murder either. The Milwaukee County District Attorney only wanted charges that could be proven without reasonable doubt. On January 13, 1992, Dahmer pled guilty but insane to 15 counts of murder. The trial started January 1992. Since most of his victims were African American, there was racial tension in the courts that had to have precautions taken against them. This included Dahmer being separated from the gallery by an 8-foot-tall, bulletproof glass barrier. His defense gave the gruesome details of Dahmer's crimes and said that only someone mentally insane could do that. But the jury believed the prosecution's assertion that Dahmer was fully aware of his crimes and that he knew that they were evil, but chose to commit them anyway. February 15, 1992, the jury returned after 10 hours to find Dahmer guilty and sane on all accounts. He was sentenced to 15 consecutive life sentences, and a 16th term was tacked on in May. Dahmer was said to adjust well in prison life, but he was kept away from the general population. He did convince authorities to let him integrate with the other inmates, though. He found religion through books and pictures that Lionel, his father, would send him, and he was even allowed to be baptized while in jail. On November 28, 1994, Dahmer was killed by another inmate named Christopher Scarver. During his work in the prison, Dahmer and two other convicted murderers, Christopher Scarver and Jesse Anderson, were left alone to complete their work tasks. When the guards came back, both inmates, Jesse and Dahmer, were brutally beaten with a metal barbell. Dahmer was pronounced dead after an hour, and Anderson succumbed to his injuries just days later. Dahmer died the first way he killed someone, with a metal barbell. In 2015, Scarver said he killed Dahmer because he was disturbed by Dahmer's crimes, and because he also would mold his food in the prison into what looked like severed body parts. Well, that's the story of Dahmer, but I'm just going to take a minute to say his victims' names. 1978, June 18th, Stephen Mark Hicks, 18 years old. 1987, November 20th, Stephen Walter Tuomi, 25. 1988, January 16th, James Edward Dexter, 14. March 24th, Richard Guerrero, 22. March 25th, 1989, Anthony Lee Sears, 24. May 20th, 1990, Raymond Lamont Smith, also known as Ricky Beeks, 32 years old. June 14th, 1990, Edward Warren Smith, 27. September 2nd, 1990, Ernest Marquez Miller, 22. September 24th, 1990, David Courtney Thomas, 22. February 18th, 1991, Curtis Durrell Strotter, 17. April 7th, 1991, Errol Lindsay, 19. May 24th, 1991, Tony Anthony Hughes, 31. May 27th, 1991, Conorax Synthesomophone, 14. June 30th, 1991, Matt Cleveland Turner, 20. July 5th, 1991, Jeremiah B. Wernerberger, 23. July 15th, 1991, Oliver Joseph Lacey, 24. July 19th, 1991, Joseph Arthur Braidhoff, 25. He was Dahmer's last victim. It's just important to say their names. I know I probably didn't pronounce some of them correctly. I tried really hard. But it's important to say their names because everybody knows Dahmer's case. Everyone. But not a lot of people can tell you that his victims' actual names. They have to be said, they have to be remembered, because even though serial killers and true crime are very popular, I mean, come on, I run a true crime podcast. Like, it's something that's popular right now. But if you don't say their names, they get forgotten. That can't happen. The families deserve for their boys to be remembered. Well, I hope you stick around. I hope you keep listening because this is going to be terrifying. Okay, so big news in the terrifying podcast world. I might be getting a permanent co-host. That'd be fun. I'm also working on bigger cases. Dahmer was my biggest. I know it was four parts when it probably shouldn't have been. But like I said, work's been crazy, and honestly, I just do this for fun, and I like talking about it. The podcast will now be posted on Wednesday and Sundays, because it's easier for me to work around work with that. And also, we have a Facebook page now. It's Terrifying Podcasts, or at Terrifying Pod. And we also have our Instagram, Terrifying_podcast. If you guys want to DM me on there, please feel free to. I'm going to start posting like polls and stuff. And it's just, I want it to be fun. If you guys want me to get an email, I will. And thanks for listening. And also, please rate and review on iTunes, or just tell someone. Because if you tell somebody, word of mouth is the biggest thing. It helps get small podcasts like me out there. And I'd really like that. So, hope you keep listening. Thanks.